Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience. We are so excited about joining with you every day. Every day. It's exciting because that's what we're called to do. I mean, the Lord called us to come together and to encourage each other. And we can do that with so many different ways now. One way we can do that is, of course, through VFN TV, VFN radio, but also our social media. We have all these different ways to communicate, and we appreciate those that are communicating with us and sharing and connecting around the world. As a matter of fact, once we opened up worldwide and what we're doing, God began to show us the nations, the ethnos of the world, and began to show us his heart for the people of the earth. And it's like, at first, it's really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it purges any false doctrine in your heart because you're saying, that's an American gospel. That is not a gospel that God's delivered to the world. Yeah. Because if it doesn't work, if it doesn't preach in Nepal, it shouldn't preach at all. You know, if it doesn't preach in every country. And so we just thank God for the humbleness, the humility that Pat has. And it's just exciting, though, when you start seeing how loving God is. Today, we're going to be talking about, just kind of give you a quick overview in today's first program, maybe even the second program, but we're going to be talking about that Miriam Ibrahim has been released. Our last program, we're on the air, we found out she was taken again, but now she's been released again. And I begin to pray for her now that she would just quickly get her and her husband, everybody out. And she was detained by the Homeland Security of Sudan, which is not under any law at all. There's no laws. They can just say this is a violation or whatever. And God moved and released her and her husband. And we're thankful to God for that, the miracle and the witness that she has and is. And continue to pray for her. And as I told you, the persecuted church, for those that are writing us, don't forget you want to write us to get that prayer. I mean, this is the day, this is the very day that God's been speaking to us about, you know, we've got to begin to focus and empathize with our brothers and sisters in the world, with the persecuted church, because they're us and we're them. And so in the context of that is we begin to write this prayer because we pray for a prayer community and we just, you know, pray about writing prayers and stuff. And Steve and I have been praying and talking about it for some time. And then all of a sudden, in other words, you begin to talk openly about what's really going on, which we did at the Dream Center on Sunday.
Right.
This Sunday, at the Dream Center, talking about the persecuted church and that's presently being persecuted and the expectations of persecution in the future. And then we began a 3-day time of prayer and fasting specifically for the persecuted church that God would start, you know, sending his angels. If he rescued Peter by shaking the prison so hard the doors came open, then he could rescue Miriam Ibrahim.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Pastor Saeed in Iran, you know, all the Christians, including these three young Jewish boys who are held captive, taken hostage or kidnapped in the West Bank, Israel. And she's released. So we'll be talking about that today. And we're excited about that. And just continue to pray and celebrate and thank God for that, because God's the one that does it. Also, we'll be talking about Israel and about their immigration, that their immigration now into Israel is up by 50%. Up by 50%.
Wow.
And you think, well, that's exciting. And the first thing you think about is like, where do you fit everybody in?
Right.
Israel is so, but they're so wise and God's given them wisdom. But we're also going to talk about, you know, what does that mean in the context of Jeremiah, when Jeremiah chapter 16, when he talks about, that the Jews were all over the earth, but now God's going to bring them together. And he says specifically, I'm going to send fishermen to bring them in, and I'm going to send hunters to bring them in. And what he's going to do is he's going to show his favor. He's going to deal with sin, but he's going to show his favor, as he's doing now, on Israel in a great way, to show himself mighty. And very excited about that. And it's happening. And their immigration's up by 50%.
That's great.
Which means Jeremiah Jeremiah 16 is up by 50%. Isn't that great?
Very good.
Leading. And ISIS, and we talked about ISIS this week, you know, in regards to what is it? And it is folks that are held captive by Satan himself to do evil deeds towards anybody who doesn't agree with them.
No doubt.
Specifically against Jews and Christians. And their counterpart is, I believe, the Shiites. They're the counterparts. But either way, the Sunnis and the Shiites is the argument that's going on, that they're, that's the narrative that the adversary is feeding into their minds as they hurt each other. And what do you know? They're declaring now, right now, according to CBN News, that finally they're saying that ISIS is a clear and present danger to America. The Homeland Security is saying that. That's very encouraging. But in this interview, this report you're going to hear, the question's asked, what, you know, what's their motivating force? What's going on? I mean, how do they see this? What's it? Then they call them like a ragtime army, and there's not like a, they're very disorganized. Mm. What is it? And you're going to hear where this, this man says, it's because they believe, this is their belief system. Mm-hmm. They believe America stands with them in this.
Really?
There is all kinds of media showing that our president, in their, you know, imagery and different things, is standing, they're for them. He's for them in this. And I don't know if he is or not, but that's what's being reported mm-hmm. and what's saying from the ground of those that are in Israel. And it's like, not good if that is. But when you put all the things together, and I forget the name of the pastor from Egypt, but he's in America. I think he's in California, and hopefully we'll have his name. But he actually wrote out like 27 points, you know, and just saying, these 27 evidentiary points, let's just look at them. So we can have a clear understanding how we pray and what we do and how we respond to things in a godly way or godly manner. Like I've been saying, too, if you haven't yet gotten Dr. Evita King's book, King Rules, you got to get it. She is going to be appearing soon on CBN. You want to catch that. Maybe we'll have her here on VFN TV. But, I mean, the talk about how to move in love is so important. Mm-hmm. And I want to go to the King Center in Atlanta. This is my request. Dear Dr. Evita King, you and the King Center, could we walk together for a few moments and you just share about this? Because they talk about in the King Center, she says, about how to walk in love when everybody's walking against you. And she also talks about the Second Amendment, which has to do with the right to bear arms. And she says, very clearly, she says, you know, what we've learned from the civil rights battle that took place in America was that bats and poles and knives and dogs and that were, you know, banning guns wouldn't have made any difference in that. And what she says is, and this is what, because she's obviously, you know, a Christian, is that you got to change a man's heart. But until then, that God's love has to be, it will be the only thing that conquers this global thing that's taking place right now, the love of God. Nothing else will. And knowing that God is in control, understanding that God is in control, understanding that he can take the very air from your breath, he directs the king's heart like a water course, why don't we just do what he says and just love folks? You know, and it is difficult when things are happening, but understand that's a winning strategy. Think about it. No, it's not a winning strategy, you know, for the American gospel in the context of it. Does it mean I get my mansion? We get to keep our, you know, mega this, and, you know, our 15 of that. And it's like, that's not, that counts for nothing in the context of what I'm saying. I'm just saying you win when you love, no matter how it turns out. Because I'm going to be talking about today, hopefully, get in. If you think about this army that came to arrest God, these soldiers, they were coming to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter responded by a violent protest. He took out his sword and he cut off one of the man's ears. Mm-hmm. Now Jesus, who's well aware of what's going on, understanding this arrest is going to lead to, in a few hours, to him being nailed to a cross, he responded in love. He reached out to the very one who was arresting him, who was sent there by orders. And I want to encourage you to understand that our law enforcement in America is good law enforcement. But their leadership, you know, they got to do what's happening in their leadership, or, you know, understand our soldiers. They're amazing people, what they're doing. And it's just, they're laying down their life and sacrificing so much, but they do what their leader says. And so this particular soldier coming to Gethsemane to arrest Jesus was doing what the Pharisees and the high priest and all the guys wanted to do. But Jesus just reached out and took his ear and he healed his ear. He responded in a loving protest, a peaceful protest, of saying, you know, here I am. But in the context of that, that's how we hopefully we can learn from that, that we have to be able to reach out even to the one who's falsely accusing and arresting us. Have such a love in our heart that we're saying, oh, I see that you have liver issues. God, just show me an image of that. And I'm going to ask God to heal you right now. I mean, think about that encounter in the context that it's going to be. It just eventually it reveals the evilness of someone's heart, that I'm looking really bad right now because this person is not anything that the narrative that I'm putting out over them. And so I'm beginning that really bothers someone. Quite often people repent, but it's God's kindness that leads people to a place of repentance. So we'll be talking about these things and more when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What can be done about the misinterpretation of the Constitution? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
It seems that the clause in the Constitution regarding, you know, laws being passed regarding an establishment of religion has been twisted into saying something that it does not say. Why can't we start exploring a constitutional amendment that would clarify that and restate what it actually means and what it does not mean?
In order to pass the constitutional process, we have to do this. You have to get basically two-thirds majority out of the United States Senate. That's 67 votes. And then you have to get a supermajority of the state to go along with you. So this is not an easy process. So right now, I think the best avenue of attack is focusing in on these judges. All of this is significant. All of these have ramifications, and we will keep everybody posted as not only the issue of judges go forward, but also the work here at the American Center for Law and Justice.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this on to this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. We're starting off in the program here with reporting on the Miriam Ibrahim, who has been released again, but this time she's released from the Homeland Security of Sudan. And we just so celebrate that. As a matter of fact, take a look at this report.
The Sudanese mother condemned to die for refusing to renounce her Christian faith has been released from government custody again. Miriam Ibrahim and her family have been on an emotional roller coaster this week. She and her two babies were held captive by Sudan's Islamic government for over a month. Then finally on Monday, her death sentence was overturned and she was released. But as she and her American husband tried to leave Sudan Tuesday, they were detained, leading to new fears that she'd been rearrested.
She was seized at the airport by the National Intelligence and Security Services of Sudan, who do not answer to criminal courts. They are outside the judicial system. We've been through this too many times in these cases of persecution in countries that are similar to Sudan when people are released, but that's not the end of the story. They're not safe yet.
A U.S. State Department spokeswoman says the Sudanese government assures the U.S. that the family has now been released again. She said U.S. officials are continuing to work on getting them out of the country.
That's so exciting. Continue to pray. Lift her up. As we can see, suddenly something can happen. But pray for Miriam and her husband and family to get out of Sudan.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the reports are that the American government is there with this whole transition. And we just want to thank for everybody for praying. Everybody that prayed, those that have been praying and fasting for the persecuted church specifically for, and we talked about it at the Dream Center this Sunday, the week of her release, Miriam's situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just asking, dear God, break our heart with the aspect of the reality that if any of us is being persecuted, you're being persecuted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if we show no interest, no connect, no compassion towards Miriam, for example, in the situation, we're showing no compassion towards Jesus.
Yeah.
If it doesn't break our heart, we have a hard heart. Mm-hmm. And so many things are coming towards us. It's kind of information overload. That's why we have VFN TV and Data Radio program, to make sense out of all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could actually gather lots of data that's going to cause you to have fear and anxiety with no resolution. They don't want a resolution because they brought a resolution that would end the news broadcast. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we're looking for the Lord to return. It's like, okay, it's over. Are you going to continue on? Absolutely not. You know, I'm not going to. But having compassion for example, Miriam today, and understand how, imagine what she's going through. I mean, she gave birth on the floor in chains in that jail. She's in this country. You know, it makes me think about, you know, a lot of people in America that have suffered injustice. And it's like the whole nation didn't even respond to you. Your state didn't respond. Your local leaders didn't respond. And that feeling like, this whole thing's against me. And so she's having, I'm sure she's having those feelings of like, you know, this whole nation seems, and there's a church inside of, you know, Sudan, and there, but it's difficult to say anything. You have such an oppressive, supposedly, according to Greta with Fox News, she called him evil so many times. This guy, the leader there, called the State Department and requested them to have her stop calling him evil.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, just ruthless over the people there, you know. And
it's reported that in the 80s that he was the one that introduced Sharia law into Sudan. And so this is what they're facing right now. You think about Sharia works, well, look what's happening.
Yeah. So if you want to know, if you want to know what the future is of any nation that decides to say, you know, let's have Sharia law here. And notice, too, the people who want Sharia law are the ones that are over it.
Right.
It's the people are not going to want that kind of oppression.
And I think we could be so naive because we think that it cannot happen here. Well, Great Britain already has 100 cases that they've already tried through Sharia law. I mean, it's happening in other other nations. So it can definitely happen here unless we don't allow it.
Right, right. And right now we do have this freedom. But just think about empathy. You know, we have a high priest. Jesus, this is what the Word of God says. He says this in Hebrews chapter 4. He says, we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us. We have one that's been in the conditions that we've all been in. He was tempted in every way. He feels all this. And he did it without sin. So therefore, we can actually approach him. He understands us. The question is, if we don't have that same empathy towards each other, we're missing what Jesus has asked us to do. And somebody says, well, that's going to cost me something. It already has it. You're supposed to have laid that down a long time ago. It's called your life.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
I mean, Jesus said, if you don't give up everything, and of course, that doesn't mean, sometimes it does, but it doesn't mean actually giving up everything, but hold everything loosely at that point. Understand, it's all yours. I submit everything I have to you, including myself. And any moment you call for anything, including me, to do something, I'm yours.
That's right.
That's what he means by that. And it's like, we have to, this is what he said. He said, you know, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to me. And knowing that as you prayed for her and your heart was broken for her and her family and her baby, and even as you're praying now, that's, you're interacting with the heart of God because that's what he wants.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. And in the very end, as we talked about it before, you're going to be divided between two people, the ones who did and ones who didn't, the ones who could empathize and do something and have compassion than ones who didn't. Believe it or not, no matter what gospel you heard, this is what's going to happen. He says it's going to be like a king coming. He's going to take all the people and gather them. He's going to gather the sheep and the goats. He uses the analogy there. He's going to divide the sheep from the goats. And the dividing factor of this is, did you have any compassion for anybody? Mm. Did you care about somebody? Did you have any empathy at all in your life? Really, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It boils down, did you have empathy? Because you're not going to go visit somebody in jail if you don't care about them. You're not going to pray for somebody and fast for somebody that you don't care about.
That's right.
You don't have any compassion for. You're not going to go buy some clothes or give some of your clothes away to somebody who needs clothes for their job or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you don't care about them. But it boils down. And the thing is, it's like, no, you're not doing that to be saved. It's the fact that you are saved. That's right. You have a relationship with God. That's a byproduct of loving God. Mm. It just comes out of your life. And so I just want to encourage you today that, you know, everything in the world says it's all about self. It's all about me. Mm-hmm. But the truth about it, it's all about Jesus. Mm. And he made the way. You're going to be so surprised if you think it's about you. When you get to the heaven, I guess it would be the judgment seat if you didn't make the right decision. But you get to heaven, you're going to look from a distance, maybe, you know, across the crystal sea, maybe looking. I don't know how it's going to work out. But they're all going to be looking at Jesus. We're all going to be looking at him saying this, you are worthy. You are worthy, Lamb of God. You are worthy because there's nobody in earth, on heaven, in the heavens, or under in the sea that was found worthy. But you're the only one. Mm. That's worthy to unloose the seal, to redeem the earth, the title deed to earth, you know, seven seals and all that. And it's like, that means all the credit and glory goes to God, right?
That's right.
And so this is a big deal. This is a big deal when you pray and you fast and you seek God. And many people are doing that. There's many great ministries out there, which I think we have them on VFNTV.com in the links area, like Voice of Martyrs and all the ones that are keeping us abreast. But you can specifically do something. Like Seculos, ACLUJ, right. That they got 300-something thousand names signed in a petition, and they're leading the charge for Pastor Saeed,
wow.
But also with Miriam down there in Sudan. Mm-hmm. It's so exciting. So one way to do that is partner with VFN-TV and Daily Radio Program, or partner with, you know, Jay Seculos' organization. You know, that's how you can participate. As these front runners, they're going on. So it's so encouraging. Continue to pray for her. God, we thank you again for another miraculous release. We ask you, Lord, that you would send your angels just to bring her out. Well, I know that, John, you were talking about this recent arrest of 168?
Yes, actually a release. It was a release of 168 children that have been, that were sold as human sex slaves from human trafficking. There was an operation that happened across the country called Operation Cross.
You're talking about America.
In America.
Right.
In America.
Wow.
And it was a partnership between the FBI and local police authorities. They were able to free. This is an answer to prayer because we've been praying now for some time to end human trafficking, not only abroad, but also in the United States.
Yes.
And 168 children were rescued throughout 100 cities in America, and 281 pimps were arrested.
Oh, wow.
And they were, you know, brought.
How many?
281.
A pimp, you know, you may have to explain that.
A pimp is someone that enslaves somebody else for sex, and they sell their bodies. That's what they sell their bodies for.
Money. They're called a pimp.
They're called a pimp.
Not Satan.
Oh, Satan.
Yeah. Well, you think how evil that is to be able to take this young girl and just hold her in captivity, period, but then to use her like a commodity with 20, 30 customers in a day and take that money. I mean, that's the ultimate evil that you could probably imagine that would take place. It's like 30 rapes in one day.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. We have been praying for that. I want to encourage you, you know, a simple prayer, you know, dear God, end abortion,
Human trafficking,
because there's a lot of different reasons, including the sex trafficking, and send revival.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they interviewed the FBI director, Mr. Comey, and he says that I love the people who are devoted to rescuing children doing this work. He says he absolutely hates having to do this. He absolutely hates it, but he's going to do it. I mean, there's nothing more rewarding than rescuing children. And so we just say, hey, let's continue to pray and be alert. Apparently, they're reporting that children that they don't, the police are saying that you don't see them on the street. What they're doing is they have to go and interview and get some of these folks in different situations, start in, to find out where these children are actually at. Once they get them to open up, they're able to find out where they're at. And this is one of the things we prayed, that these networks would be exposed, and it's exactly what God did. So we're just praising God that 168 children are free now in America.
Awesome.
This is a strange dichotomy taking place, because you have this great increase of evil. At the same time, there are, the justice is happening.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, you know, what meanest thou this in the context of it, but it seems like maybe in this darkest hour is when, you know, rescue comes. Mm. Because you're seeing, I mean, things, just people get awards that should have been, had these awards, you know, 50, 60 years ago. People being recognized who are responsible for helping our country, you know, be who it is and that type of thing. And one of them is, which Indian tribe is the one? Is it the Choctaw?
Here?
Yeah. No, the one that helped in World War II.
Oh, it was the Navajo.
It was the Navajo. Navajo Indians believe that they actually were recruited to come, and they used their language in the Second World War over the radio system to be able to communicate, which kept, you know, Japan and other ones from hearing us. Yeah. But who knows that? Who knows that? Wow. I mean, look at the narrative that the adversary has placed over the First Nation people, and they're heroes. Mm-hmm. These guys are heroes, and so they were recognized, and that's exciting to be able to see things like that. It just blesses my heart. And also, I know we're about to go to a break right here. We're going to be talking after we get back from the break about how immigration now is up by 50% in Israel. 50%.
Wow.
Why is this, and why does Jeremiah, what does Jeremiah 16 have to do with that?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God. And survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity and our response. We need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better, and we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you. A simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Immigration to Israel is up by 50%, CBN News is reporting. This increase in anti-Semitism, in other words, hatred towards Jews in the earth right now, is causing an increase in immigration to Israel. And Ukraine and French Jews are making up most of this particular increase that's going on right now. And, of course, your first reaction, if you don't have any biblical worldview, which I think a lot of folks don't really have a biblical worldview, according to, if you're not picking up your Bible, 81%, and nobody's talking about it, they're saying you can't pray to God, you can't, you know, teach the Bible and these different things, which you can if you're listening to VFN Radio. It's great. You would think, why are you messing with the Jews? Why would you persecute them? Why is this? What's happening in the context of this? But if you're reading Jeremiah chapter 16, because it's like the Jews, there's Jews just like everybody else. There's Jews all over the face of the earth. But it seems to be that certain people are trying to harm them, threaten them, and they are, some of them are, and it's called anti-Semitism, and it's caused them to say, you know, I feel very uncomfortable here. I don't feel comfortable. Sometimes it's like Yolanda, who was part of all that. Her family ran during that time of in Germany. And so they say, you know what? I'm going to go to Israel. Let's just go to Israel. I mean, who doesn't want to go to Israel? It's like, the thing is, BB won't be there necessarily always forever. Right? You arrive, it's like, BB's gone. He's retired. No. And so you think, you know, if you have a biblical perspective of this, you're thinking, my goodness, we are close to end times. Mm-hmm. This is a sign of the end times. Because in Jeremiah 16, you know, God does see all of our sin. He sees the sin of Jews. He sees the sins of the Christians. He sees the sins of the world. He sees all men's sins.
Yeah.
And sin's always going to be dealt with. It's going to have to be dealt with. And if it is not dealt with at the cross of Jesus, it's going to be dealt with, you know, personally. And, you know, there's no way that John could have taken that with all the things that he had done in his life. You know what I'm saying?
Right? No, that's right.
Okay, we'll move on. But seriously, I mean, and so, you know, we can focus on Israel, and we love Israel because it's the apple of God's eye. It's God's chosen folks. They're the ones that delivered us the word of God. It's where God shows himself mighty. But we worship God. You know, just because a Christian's a Christian doesn't mean they're right. Believe me. And just because a man is a Jew or a lazy Jew doesn't mean what they're saying is right. But you still can love people in the midst of all that. It doesn't say they're wrong either, but some people just trump everything. They have a carnal understanding of what's going on. Because Jeremiah 16 says specifically, you know, God's coming down. He's dealing with the sins of Israel. He's dealing with the sins, the false gods, and all the things that you're seeing today. I mean, there's a lot of Jews. And Revelation talks about there's Jews, people who call themselves Jews. It's no Jew at all. But there are Jews. The Lord's watching their lives, and he's opening their eyes, and they're getting saved. It's beautiful to watch a Messianic believer and everything they bring to the banquet table, you know, before the Lord. But in the context of that is, but he sees their sin too. And he talks about it. He says, I see everything, and I'm going to deal with this. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah, I don't want, if the funeral happens, this is how upset God was and is, obviously, because it's still happening, because they haven't fully, you know, part of what we'll talk about in a moment. He says, if somebody's having a funeral, don't even go to it.
Wow.
Even if it's their father, don't even go to the funeral. Because God was saying, you know, you totally have got these other gods. You ran after, you're doing all this ungodly stuff. You've broken my heart. I mean, that's what's really going on. And he says, I'm going to scatter their bodies just like rubbish, and they're not going to even be buried. And it's for all of us. This message is to all of us. But we've seen this. And it's like, it should put the fear of God in our lives and say, dear God, every word that you say is true. And then he says, I'm going to gather you. I'm going to bring you together. But at that time, I'm going to deal with your sins. Hmm. So it's not like I'm going to gather you despite your sins. You know, I'm going to gather you together. I'm going to bring you together. And so we're seeing, you know, people all of a sudden since 1948, you know, since Harry Truman helped, you know, America stood with Israel during that time to become a nation, that we're seeing people migrate and come into Israel. Go, hey, that's great. Yeah, I'll go there. And the first people who showed up were amazing people because they had to bring a living out of a rock and dirt. Mm-hmm. And they did through kibbutzes and all those different things. But then he goes on to say this. And so we're seeing, you know, we're talking about immigration is up by 50%. We're trying to get a biblical perspective, a biblical worldview here. Well, in Jeremiah 16, he writes, the Word of God writes in verse 14, despite all that stuff I was talking about, he says, however, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites out of Egypt, but it will be said this instead of that, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where they were banished. Mm. For I will restore them to the land that I gave their ancestors. So God, because he's not a man that he would lie, there's not a man that he would change his mind. I mean, he's working out a redemption for all of us who say yes to his son. That the reason why there's Jews all over the face of the earth, based on the word of God, is because God banished and just shut down Israel. It's like, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. They went into Babylonian captivity and all these different things happened. And, but God loves the Jews. He loves you. And so at some point he's going to say, okay, I'm going to begin to gather you together and I'm going to deal with your sins. I'm going to deal with them. I see you. I watch you in the foreign lands. I watch what you're doing. You're worshiping all these other gods and doing all this stuff. But he's going to gather them, which shows you this. First of all, God's eye is intently upon the apple of his eye. And you want to bless Israel because that's between the Jew and God, what he's doing. That's between them mm-hmm. two. And he's working out his redemption plan. Some people's gotten all smart and stuff, and they're starting, you're putting yourself between God and his chosen folks and what he's doing. And so we don't do that.
No.
Try not to. But we do want to say, you know, it makes you want to say, I'm going to bless him since God has got such a deep eye, a thorough eye on Israel. Mm-hmm. If I want to get the attention of God, I am going to help with this migration. I'm going to help because God says I'm gathering them around. And there are several organizations. You see them come on sometimes, and maybe you know about them personally, where you can help pay to bring a Russian Jew back from Russia, or mm-hmm. you can help pay Jews to come from Africa or from the Ukraine. A lot of coming from Ukraine and France and all. And it's like, okay, that's what's going on. But now you're seeing this intensity. I'm like, you know, evil anti-Semitism. And it's like, I am here. I am living my life. I am loving my family. I'm being a good citizen. But now the very country that I'm in is against me.
Right.
And that's sad. It's not good. But if you have a biblical worldview, how they can get relief based on what God is saying is to let him gather you to Israel because he wants to bless you because that's what he's going to do. I'm going to bring you together. I'm going to double your sins. And then I'm going to bless you. Mm. I'm going to show favor over you. And so this tension between how long will this last? I guess it'll last until if you're Jewish, you say, you know what? I'm ready to follow God. I'm going to go to the land. And he's made it so appetizing there. I mean, he's blessed Israel so much. I mean, even Google mm-hmm. and Facebook and all these different technology companies and everybody's going there, medical, to get wisdom and things that God's doing. Mm-hmm. But in this, and this is the part I want to talk about, because you're going to see a great increase in anti-Semitism and be no part of that. You know, pray for Israel and pray for the salvation of the Jews. But in verse 16, he says, but now, as he's gathering them, he says, I will send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will catch them. So you think about these organizations that are bringing in these Russian Jews, for example. They're going to find these Jews. They're determining their Jews. They're following their records down because I mean, the Jews have great records of genealogy. and they're specifically fishing for them. And fishing is a really, really patient thing. I'm more into, you know, quick activity. Mm-hmm. But some people can sit there all day long and just, you know, strategically, I got the right lure. I got the right, I got a Teflon bait or whatever it was. And you think about all these different things. It had a worm with a bulletproof vest in it. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later. And so God is actually, he's the one doing this. Think about it. He's the one that's actually sending these folks out to say, you know, where are you, Jewish man? Where are you, Jewish woman? Let me pay to bring you into the blessing. Let me bring you to a place that God's going to, yes, he's going to acknowledge the sin, but he's going to forgive the sin if you respond to him in a proper way so he can bless you. So when you give money towards those and you help out and partner even with VFN TV and Daily Radio program where you're hearing this, you're helping that equation to take place. But then he says after the fisherman, and fisherman's more of a kinder, gentler way to be able to do it. And then after the fisherman, he says, after that, I will send hunters and they will hunt them down on every mountain and hill and from the crevices and the rocks. My eyes are all on all their ways. And so this is what we're seeing now. If you're listening, you're thinking about, you know, I need to go to Jerusalem. Yolanda wants to go to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And that if you don't respond by the fishermen, there's going to be somebody hunting you up. They're not hunting you up. Well, some may to hurt you, but the Christians are hunting you up to help you and to bring you, you know, pay for your way there to Israel so you can be blessed and we're all walking in the ways of God. But he goes on to say, in addition to this, he says, my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their sin concealed from my eyes. I will repay them double for their wickedness and their sin because they have defiled my land with the lifeless forms of the vile images and have filled my inheritance with their detestable idols. And so he's gathering, but he's confronting this thing at the same time. He says, the Lord is my strength and my fortress, my refuge in times of distress. To you, the nations will come from the ends of the earth and say, our ancestors possessed nothing but false god, worthless idols that did not or was not any good at all. Do people make their own gods? Yes, they do. Therefore, I will teach them. This time, I will teach them about my power and my might. Then they will know that my name is the Lord. And you understand that. This whole process is, yeah, you know, there's some things going on, but understand God is gathering folks. So when you're seeing this, when you can help teach someone to say, you know, I know it seems kind of bad right now, but it's going to increase if you don't obey God. You can minister to someone and say, listen, I'm sure there's a house, a home, an apartment, something in Israel, and let's figure out how to get you there before the hunters. I mean that's the way you could minister in the context of that. But just this intense hatred, it's like, I think it's almost like that Satan thinks he's got the upper hand, but actually he's being used to fulfill the plans of God. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you, immigration to Israel is up by 50%. Pray that no harm comes to any Jew anywhere on the face of this earth and that they would hear and the mercies of God would bring them back to the land of Egypt where they can experience the blessings that are going on there, but also can come to a place of repentance and acknowledgement of the Messiah.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although, you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can while it's actually the light of the gospel because... You know, he tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to vfntv.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing, you know, a network now that's reaching around the world, television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the land. It's obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices that just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it, but we all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it. You can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas.
Big and beautiful this morning, John Ramos.
Hey.
Hello. We were on a stage ministering, I don't know, a couple hundred men, feeding them spaghetti, ministering the gospel. And we're talking about, I think, racial reconciliation or something. And I said, man, I said, you're beautiful. And all of his masculinity was risked. Right? 200 men, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm like, dude, I'm not really telling the truth here. No. You're not beautiful. No, I'm just trying to make up for the height difference and everything, you know. But seriously, I'll remember that. You're like, oh, my goodness, beautiful. You know, I meant that in a masculine. Isn't he though?
Thank you.
He's got glamour shots. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Really?
Ian, I'm so sorry. We're getting to our list. This is where we're going.
Thank you for the list.
Welcome to the Christian Television Network across the world. You got to see John's glamour shot.
No glamour shots. No glamour shots.
They're all glamour shots. He waits like a long time.
You forgot, really? You know, you were like,
oh, please.
Ian, get back to Ian's list.
Okay.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are, there's three journalists that are arrested in Egypt, and they're reported to be Christian journalists there. And I think it was pretty interesting because the USA Today was reporting that journalists in America got together and had a 1 minute protest. That's America. It's like, we can keep our attention for 1 minute.
1 minute. Here we go, guys.
Yeah. And if I actually had the picture, I'd show it to you right now, but I can't. For some reason, they buried it. It was on the front page this morning, morning hours. But they got together, and which is great. I think it's great that they're doing this. And they put black tape over their mouth. And because these three arrests that took place in Egypt were journalists, Christian journalists, or, you know, journalists. I would say journalists because for their perspective, not the fact that they were Christian journalists. Because Christians have been arrested and persecuted for quite some time, and I didn't see these journalists out in the street.
That's right.
I didn't see them out in the street with tape over their mouth or chains around their, walking out like a fake pregnancy womb belly with chains on your wrists saying, you know, we're against what's happening to Miriam in Sudan right now. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it's a journalist, they came out for 1 minute, according to USA Today, and did a protest, which is great. I think it's great they're standing up for the journalists there. But I would like to really hope that one day we would begin to stand up again for Christians, no matter what their occupation is.
Yeah.
And but I know you were talking about the three arrested.
Well, yeah, there was three that were arrested, but there was one that was arrested in Egypt. And this just happened. The court sentenced him in Egypt to 5 years in prison. Now, get this. He's a journalist. He used to be a Muslim, but he converted to Christianity. And he's going to prison for inciting Muslim-Christian strife. This is what they're sentencing for. He basically was arrested for educating and broadcasting and sharing what all the persecution that the Christians were going, you know, are getting under through the Muslim Brotherhood, through the radical Muslims there in Egypt. And so they thought because of that, he was going to be arrested. So they arrested him. Now he's in jail now for 5 years, going to be in jail for 5 years. And even on his identity card, they have an identity card, and he changed his religion from Muslim to Christianity. He wanted to stay in the public of being a Christian. And so you're seeing this all over the place where now they don't have a freedom of speech. Anything that's spoken against, a radical Islam perspective automatically now gets sanctioned, and now he's arrested, and now you have a Christian who's a journalist who can't even report on it was tragic what happened. I mean, you had churches that were burned down, Christians that were being murdered, they were being butchered, they were being persecuted, and he couldn't even report that. And so we want to lift him up in prayer. His name is Amir, and we want to make sure that he gets released as soon as possible.
Well, I found the image I was looking for that you can see it, that the protest is going on right now. And it's called, and they have a little Twitter thing going on saying, mm-hmm. Hashtag free AJ, which is Al Jazeera staff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if these reporters, do you know if these reporters were for Al Jazeera? It could be totally, there's a whole bunch of reporters.
I'm not sure.
Earth. But I don't see a Christian reporter working for Al Jazeera's. No. That you see a Christian reporter working for Al Jazeera's.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we'll wait for John. He knows. Coming? Is it?
Is it?
I don't know.
But these reporters you're seeing right here, they had a one-minute protest, as you're seeing right here. And this compliments of Getty Images and USA Today. And it's like, think about this, that... Why were we doing that for Miriam Ibrahim? Why are we doing this? Is what we need to do as Christians. And as I talk about often, you need to get this book, King Rules by Dr. Vita King, because she talks specifically about what they're doing right here, what these journalists did for the other journalists. That's what we need to do for Christians. We need to stand up in peaceful protest and within the confines of the law and stand up for what's right. And it's great. I think they're standing up for that. But I know that I didn't see anybody standing up, like the journalists standing up for, Pastor Saeed and the other ones out there. But I don't know. This could be totally different mm-hmm. journalists from that. But I couldn't imagine. It could be. But Al Jazeera is a big supporter of Muslim Brotherhood and all those things, reportedly mm-hmm. That way. Well, remember them in your prayers. I mean, yeah, you're looking at a political correct speech taking place in America where they're wanting folks to, stop sharing, speaking freely according to the First Amendment. They're thinking your free speech is infringing upon how I want life to be. Therefore, you can't speak that. Mm. One is a college campus in Colorado where they came in against one of the students there that began to just share their thoughts. They're saying, like, your speech is hurting. They're starting to repress, Christian speech. Basically, if you talk about what's going on in the Word of God and the Bible, and you think about it, if they pulled prayer out of school, if they pulled, the Ten Commandments down, they're doing all this. That's called suppressing First Amendment rights, is mm-hmm. what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
And we have to, despite that, we have to learn to be able to stand up peacefully and say something in the context of a great country that God has given us that has a constitution that says you actually can do it. It doesn't mean people won't, treat you unjustly, but look at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, he was within the context of the law. He was obeying the law, God's law, and they put him in jail. And these things can happen, but in the long run, if we operate with the principles of peaceful protest and say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. When you have what we talked about just yesterday with the prime minister of Poland saying, you're going to have to set your religion, your faith aside, and you're going to have to follow the law, which says, these doctors are going to have to kill the babies now, mm-hmm. And it's like, at that point, that's when you stand up and you go, I can't, this is against God. I can't do this. You got to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three guys that loved God, and despite everybody in that entire nation bowing down to another god, they just wouldn't do it. And this is what they said. They said, our God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, I'm not going to do this.
Right.
Mm.
And God did, because what they did was when he was building this big, huge image of himself, and he wanted everybody to bow down to it. These three Jews said, no, we're not going to bow down to it. And so they took them, and they were going to throw them in the fire. And it was, the fire was so hot when they threw them in the fire that the ones that threw them in the fire, they actually died from the heat. They burnt right. up. And so they throw them in the fire bound. And you're thinking, you know, they're just trying to bind me. They're trying to restrict me. Don't sell out. Stay faithful to God, because when they hit that fire, all their bondage dropped. Everything, all their things that tied their arms and their hands, it just fell off. Secondly, Jesus showed up in the fire, because there was a fourth man in the fire with those three folks. If you want to meet with God, you want to see the miracles of God, you want to see the power of God, begin to stand for God. When everybody else is bowing down to other gods, just go, you know what? As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And yes, my God can deliver me. But even if he doesn't, I am not going to pull this child out of this woman's womb and kill it. I'm not going to do these things that are evil in the eyes of God. And guess what? When you do that, if you stay in that fire like that, Jesus shows up powerfully. And even the king said this, the government switched its belief system based on people's three men standing up for God. They said, listen, their God will be our God. Everybody will honor this God of the Jews because he was with them in the fire. I threw them in. I expected them to die. They weren't bitter, didn't complain. They didn't retaliate. They didn't march against me and do painful things against me. They actually just said, their God is real and he can deliver. And he did. This is the God. This is the God. Your willingness to go through the fire could be a turning point for an entire nation. God bless. We'll see you on future programs.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
If you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights
of that week's program, and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.